This podcast is part of the Self Defense Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jeff in Saxey, Texas. And just like Bob, I'm a tactical guy and I like a tactical podcast.
Jeff, wait a minute. That's practical guy and practical podcast.
Oh, never mind.
Hi folks, I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. This is the 391st episode of the Handgun World Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome. You know, it's always great every week to be able to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that is guns and Second Amendment rights, self-defense, and competition shooting. So I've got two interviews for you this week. Got two brief interviews here in the same episode. I'm excited for you to hear them. This podcast is sponsored by Concealment Solutions, makers of some of the best holsters, I think, on the market. I'm using one right now. I'm using a Cobra outside the waistband. Nice holster for my Smith & Wesson Shield. Cobra outside the waistband at Concealment Solutions, and they sell mag holders, horizontal mag carriers, also Black Mamba hybrid inside the waistband holsters. Jason Christensen's company does a great job, excellent customer service, and I really like their holsters. ConcealmentSolutions.com, and the coupon code HandgunWorld gives you 10% off of your order except for the belts. Handgun World. Please use that coupon code if you order anything from ConcealmentSolutions.com. Well, as you know, I just recently co-founded with Paul Lathrop from the Polite Society podcast, co-founded the Self-Defense Radio Network, and we're making an attempt right now to kind of cross-promote each other's shows because there are a lot of great podcasts on the Self-Defense Radio Network. If you want to see them all, just go to selfdefenseradio.net, selfdefenseradio.net. Well, Gun Freedom Radio out of Arizona is a member of the Self-Defense Radio Network, and Cheryl Todd and her husband Dan Todd do a great podcast. It's called Gun Freedom Radio, and you can find them at gunfreedomradio.com. I contacted Cheryl recently, and I asked her to come on the show and talk about concealed carry from a woman's perspective. And I think you're going to like this. So, you know, if you're a lady listening to this, or if you have a special lady in your life, get her to listen to this interview coming up. Now, I have to apologize for something. I did a 40-minute interview with Cheryl, and I had technical difficulties during the last part of the interview. It was not listenable. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was Skype or if it was the recording software that I was using. But it was horrible. It was all chopped up, and you could only understand about every third or fourth word that Cheryl was saying. But the first 20 minutes is excellent, and so you're going to hear that right now. Well, my special guest for this episode is Cheryl Todd from Gun Freedom Radio. Welcome to the Handgun World Podcast, Cheryl.
Thank you, Bob. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for asking me on. This is my first time on your show.
It is, and hopefully it won't be the last time.
No, if you ask, I'll come. And actually, I need to return a favor. I've been meaning to beat you to the punch, and you beat me to it. So we're going to have you on ours at some point, hopefully very soon.
Yeah, well, ever since you became part of the network, I've been listening to almost every episode. I listened to a couple of episodes even before you became part of the network, and I'm very impressed. You and Dan put on a good show.
You know, I so appreciate that, and I wish I could take credit for it, but really it is the amazing opportunities that we have, the amazing blessings we have to meet such a variety of people with rich history and background, and not even just in the firearms industry, because the name of our show is Gun Freedom Radio. And mm-hmm. so any topic or any guest that kind of hits any of those points or combination thereof are perfect for our show. And just this past Saturday, as a matter of fact, we had Anthony Imperato. He's the owner of Henry Repeating Arms, which clearly that's guns, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's getting ready to hold a record-breaking. It's going to be in the Guinness Book of World Records, from what I understand. It's called the 1,000-Man Shoot. And it's going to benefit, the proceeds are going to benefit the NRA, which is for educational firearm safety programs, that sort of thing. But what they're doing is they're making 1,000 commemorative Henry rifles. And we're going to go out to the Ben Avery Range here in Arizona, where I am. And we're all going to shoot at the same time. And I just think it's going to be a lot of fun.
1,000 people shooting at the same time?
Yes, that's the goal. So
that's pretty good. I'd like to see how they're going to pull that off.
I know. I'm hoping somebody gets some good drone photography or something like that. And so, you know, that was Anthony Imperato, the gun side of things. Now, in the same show, we also had Sidney Powell, who is has nothing to do with the gun industry. She's an attorney. And so she has written an amazing new book called Licensed to Lie, Exposing the Corruption in the DOJ. And those of us that are in the firearms industry have unfortunately had the unfortunate opportunity to experience that less than great side of the DOJ in the form of Operation Choke Point, where they're squeezing our financial ability to get loans and to transact even through credit cards with banking industries, those of us that are in the ammo business and the firearms business. And then, of course, Operation Fast and Furious, which was that gun walking scheme. Both things were organized and run under our former Attorney General Eric Holder. And so far too few people even know about those particular insults, I just have to say.
Absolutely.
And her book isn't specifically about either of those, but a lot of the same characters, people, are in her book as she uncovers so many instances of corruption in the past decade or so. And she says it reads like a thriller, like a John Grisham novel, but that it's all 100% backed up with fact. And I just met her at the Gun Rights Policy Conference where she was a speaker, and immediately said, I've got to have you on the air. And she was a great guest. So really, anybody out there with other podcasts, I highly recommend her.
I'll take that up under consideration. That yeah. might be another guest of mine. And, you know, for my listeners' benefit, you guys need to listen to Cheryl's show, Cheryl and Dan Todd, Gun Freedom Radio. They are part of the Self-Defense Radio Network, and good show. And I got to ask you a question. Who'd have thunk it? Who would have thought corruption in the DOG? Huh? I mean, DOJ, Department of Justice. Corruption? Really? Oh, I guess I've been sleeping under a rock, huh?
Yeah. I mean, we sounded like conspiracy theorists for the longest time when we personally were experiencing the ill effects of the Operation Choke Point, because our bank just started overnight started treating us as though we were suspicious in some way, and we couldn't understand it. And we were asking other people just outside of the firearms industry, just because that's who we were interacting with. And they started looking at us like we were funny, like, well, no, we're not having any trouble, so clearly there must be something wrong with you. And it did make us look and feel like we were either doing something wrong or we were conspiracy theorists. And then finally, thank goodness, on the news, we heard this name, Operation Choke Point. And we're like, that's it? Now it makes sense.
Now you can put it all together. And my listeners need to know, in case they don't listen to your show, you and your husband are also in the firearms business. You have a gun shop, don't you?
Yes, exactly. Sorry, I should have said that. Yeah, azfirearms.com. We're in a little tiny town in just a little west of Phoenix, Arizona. And we've got the proverbial mom and pop's corner store, corner shop. We are actually on a corner in our historic district of Avondale, Arizona. But we have about 1,000 square feet of room, but we have about 12,000 firearms of every possible kind and size, including two World War II howitzer cannons and Gatling gun, and we've got some really fun stuff. So
wow, don't let me in your store. I'll go broke before I leave.
That's what my staff always says.
Oh man. Oh wow. Well, Cheryl, I wanted to have you talk about women in concealed carry. It's obviously something I don't know much about, and so I like to bring women on the show that know a lot about it and do it, and you carry every day. And you said that there's a little bit of a different type of journey that women take into concealed carry, isn't there?
We really do. And, you know, I host a discussion panel almost monthly at the Crossroads Gun Show, Crossroads of the West Gun Show. And we've just called it Women and Guns. And, you know, we always start with saying, well, why would you have to have a panel specifically called Women and Guns? Why don't you have one called Men and Guns? You know, and we could, but women are still fairly new as a demographic in the firearms world. And we do take a different path for a number of different reasons. We're, you know, the whole Venus and Mars thing. That's for real.
It's real. We really
are different. We, you know, here's a news flash. Men and women are built different. Our bodies are shaped different. And we really do have a different psychological approach to many things, and that's wonderful. One is not better than the other. We're just different. We're, you know, two sides to the same coin.
So many people don't realize that.
Absolutely. And that's a blessing. That's a good thing. My husband and I complement each other in so many ways. What he's amazing at, like, he knows equipment. Like, he's like an encyclopedia of all the guns and the history of, you know, the makers and all that sort of thing. That is really not my gift. My gift is more, you know, policy. I'm HR at our store. You know, I'm the political aspect of things. I understand those things, and that's not really his strength. And so together, we make a pretty powerful team. And if we both had the exact same approach to things and the exact same skills, that would be pretty boring. So bringing it back around to, you know, just firearms ownership in general. So when we are, as women, trying to decide, all right, so are guns good? Are they evil? You know, because if you're on the fence and you weren't raised around guns, you have just these outside influences. You've got the media, you've got movies, you've got, you know, pundits on whatever your favorite, I'm going to use the word news lightly and with air quotes.
Yeah, very good. Air quotes, yes.
Yeah, news stations and news shows. And so we have to decide, you know, are moms against guns, like Bloomberg wants us to believe? Or, wait a minute, here's this whole group of people, the first responders, who protect lives with the exact same tool. And so it can't be the tool itself. It has to be the person behind it. Okay, so we've worked through that. Uh-huh. And does it fit my life? Do I have, you know, the ability to train? Do I have the time and the money and the opportunity to train myself so that I stay proficient? Now, that could be the same on either side, men or women. But, you know, we women over the last, just in the course of my lifetime, I will be 50 in December. You know, we've taken a journey right there to, you know, wanting to be superwoman and being able to do it all and have it all and be it all. And I think we've just made ourselves tired, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you're about the same. You said, well, you're almost the same age as me.
Yeah. So, just think about the course that, you know, when we were growing up, it was in the 60s and then the 70s. Yep. Women played much different roles back then. And again, it's not necessarily better or worse now, but we have shoved a lot into our expectation of ourselves. Let me put it that way. And so now can we add one more thing, and that is not just buying a gun and doing, we call it the Christmas puppy syndrome, right? All right, I got the gun, I'm going to stick it on the shelf, and then I lose interest because it hasn't really become a part of my life. That is irresponsible firearms ownership. Do I have all of the elements in place so that I can truly protect my family, even from my own lack of knowledge, lack of training? And so there's that one piece of the journey, because we women, we generally are the nurturers. Now, I'm not saying that men aren't nurturing, not by any stretch of the imagination.
No, but women are more so, though.
That's just kind of our nature. It tends to be.
Yes.
And so we're generally the protector of others. So we don't always understand that we ourselves are worthy of protecting. I mean, that might sound bizarre to just the casual listener, or maybe to men that are listening, but we're like the last on our list of people to take care of, partly because we've crammed so much into our expectation of ourselves. And so, you know, we're going to be sure that the kids are fed and they're clean and they've got nice clothes to wear and everything else. But we sometimes rush out the door and we're doing our makeup on the road and our hair is still a little askew. And dadgummit, the baby, you know, got a little spit up stain on my shoulder. You know, we wouldn't let our kids go to school or off to their after school job or anything like that with a stain on their shirt. But this is the reality. So we just in those senses, we sometimes don't take care of ourselves as well as we take care of others. And so it naturally rolls into, oh, yeah, I'm not always with my significant other or my husband or, you know, whoever is that protector in your life, your dad, your brothers, whoever that is. And again, I'm using some sexist language here, and there's going to be some people that bristle against that, but I am speaking from my generation and my experience. And that is kind of the way that I personally came up. I was raised in a household with a single dad and three brothers. Mm-hmm. I was the caregiver. I stepped into the mom role, but I had all these, you know, manly protectors around me. I didn't have to think about that. Then I married my husband. We've been married 31 years. We got married when I was 18. He was always my protector. But then at some point I realized that, oh, wait, so he runs off to work in that direction, and then I go off and do these other parts of our life and errands and whatnot in this direction. He can't be with me. So
right.
It's my responsibility to protect me and my child who's with me. So that's part of the journey.
Cheryl, let me ask you to back up for a second.
Sure.
Because you sent me some notes, and since we're on this subject, one thing I wanted to ask you about is you said sometimes women have to work through some disapproving glances and comments from others, and I assume that's about concealed carrying. Do you get those?
Well, I do, but probably not quite as much as somebody who isn't, you know, a gun store owner. But when we first, we've been in business for about a decade now, about 10 years. And when I first went into, my husband and I opened our business, we did feel that to a certain degree. People were like, you're going to open what kind of store? You're going to do what? You know, and so it did feel a little like I had to justify the reasons behind opening a business. Whereas if I was opening, I don't know, pick any other store, The lady up the street from us has got a caramel corn shop. I'm pretty sure nobody said, wait a minute now, are you going to go and make people fat? You know, it's like, you know, but yet we had to kind of feel like, we might be the purveyors of death or something as a way that people, some people look at guns. But the thing is that we have a legitimate tool with a legitimate use and a legitimate purpose.
Right.
And again, when we opened 10 years ago, it was very unusual for a female to walk in by herself or with her girlfriends or with her kids. And we had made a decision in our minds that we wanted our store to be, and Dave Ramsey, the financial get out of debt, stay out of debt guy, he sponsors us. He endorses us.
Oh, and great.
We're very blessed there. And one of the ads he does for us, he calls us the, it's a generational thing, but he calls us the Floyd's Barbershop of gun stores. And, you know, if you remember back in the day, there was the Andy Griffith Show, and Floyd the Barber was, you know, his shop was where everybody just gathered and chatted.
Right, right.
And it was just a gathering place. And we always wanted it to be as normal to go out for a carton of eggs as it is to go out for a box of ammo. And, you know, you don't have to get a sitter for the kids, and it's not taboo. And we have come to that place where it is much more normalized now. And we actually own two businesses and the radio show. So we've got the gun store, AZ Firearms. We also have Pot of Gold Auctions.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we go to a new gathering of people that we don't know, depending on who they are, even to this day, mm-hmm. we might lead with, well, we own an auction house and a gun store.
You know, kind of cover our mouth and kind of like, you know.
Yeah. And a gun store. Yeah, right.
Yeah, because there are still certain groups of people, depending on where you go. We go to California a lot because we love Walt Disney. We love Disneyland. And, you know, sometimes when you're over there, there's a different attitude towards the value and the significance and the legitimacy of personal firearms ownership.
Oh, and, sure. Yeah, they think differently, a lot of them.
Yeah, and you don't want to turn somebody off when you first meet them, which it's their problem and it's their preconceived notion. But I was a worship leader for several years at our local church, and that's like, you know, the choir in with a traditional church is a choir. In a contemporary church, it's a band. And so mm-hmm. the lead singer of the band and the prayer leader is a worship leader. And I experienced a very similar thing with that. If you were in a group of people that you didn't know and you just busted out with, well, I'm a worship leader, they would instantly, their whole body language would change. Like they're self-checking, like, did I just drop an F-bomb in front of this lady? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right, yeah.
They would get very self-conscious, but it would cause them to actually judge me, thinking I was judging them. And so that was a pretty good training ground for me to go into the firearms business, because, you know, I want people to know me as a person first. And then if there's something that might be a hot button issue, I can lead with that second. And so that is part of that disapproving glance, you know me as a person first. And I think women, maybe even more so, because people think we're supposed to be, you know, the softer sex, maybe, or we're supposed to be the nurturers, and why would we carry around this deadly weapon?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're no threat to anybody who's not a threat to us. And, you know,
as are most people who carry a gun. We're not a threat unless you're a threat to us, plain and simple.
Exactly.
You know,
so. Anyway, that's where I was coming at with the, you know, the fact that we do get the disapproving glances. And then you've got that whole group out there that's just having money pumped into them from Michael Bloomberg, I don't even remember what they're called. Moms Hate Guns,
Moms Demand Action, I think is what
it is. What action are they demanding? You know, and why are they demanding anything? Why aren't they working with their communities to empower people? Because the core of crime or sin, you know, because I'm always thinking with that, you know, my Christian background.
Yeah, me too.
The core of that is selfishness. You know, that is the core of any negative thing. Anytime you step over somebody else's boundary or lean into their rights, putting yours above theirs, that is based in selfishness. Why don't we work on that? You know, why don't we...
Good point.
The Boys and Girls Clubs. I mean, wouldn't that be just a much better use of the time and money and energy and give us a much better future instead of moms demand some unnamed action? I don't know. But so people hear just enough of that, you know, that moms aren't supposed to have anything to do with guns. And then, oh, wait, I am a mom. And oh, wait, I'm carrying a gun. But I just use my normalcy. I am just a mom. I'm just a grandma. I'm just a wife. I'm just a business owner. And yeah, I do protect myself with a firearm. And I was interviewed by the Swiss Press once, and the guy said, because they all have guns in their home, but they don't carry them around with them.
Right.
And so it was kind of like interesting to them. Well, wait a minute, what is this fascination? And everybody's got, you know, special colors on their guns. And then here's this whole female thing, like women like have, you know, not just one gun, but multiple guns in different colors. And he was just fascinated. But he asked me, he said, why do you feel so threatened that you need to carry a gun? And I said, but
that's a ridiculous question.
Right. I said, that's the very thing. I don't feel threatened because I am prepared. And so, you know, that they're completely different mindsets. You know,
a ridiculous question for him to ask you.
It is. I mean, he could have said, why do you wear your seatbelt every day? Do you plan on crashing into people? No. I prepared just in case something goes differently than the way I've planned my day. And why do I have a fire extinguisher in my home? Am I planning to set fire to the place? No. You know, so it was it was interesting. And I do think that we just need to constantly be good ambassadors with our normalcy and our level of courteousness. You know, some of these people that like to be, what's the word I'm looking for, in your face, but there's a better word for it. And and just because you legally can walk around with an AR-15 at Sky Harbor Airport here in Arizona, is that really going to win hearts and minds?
Yeah, it's not a good use of your resources. Exactly.
Well, many thanks to Cheryl from Gun Freedom Radio. And Cheryl, again, I apologize that I had all those technical difficulties in the second half of the interview. I'll probably be inviting her to come back on the show again and spend some more time talking to us about a woman's perspective and the women's journey towards concealed carry. That was real good stuff, though, and I appreciate it. The next interview coming up, you're going to like a lot, too. And I want to spend some time reminding you that the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network is an official self-defense radio network sponsor. And this next guest that I have coming up was my guest for episode 381, where he told his harrowing story about getting falsely arrested and falsely charged. If he had had the benefit that Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network provides, which is legal representation in the aftermath, if you have to use your gun, and sometimes even if your gun's not even involved, but you get arrested, if he'd have had the benefit, life would have been a lot easier for him, and he ended up spending $12,000 out of his own pocket just to get his defense started. And so it was a real troubling experience for Paul Lathrop. So you might want to, as soon as you finish listening to this podcast, go to armedcitizensnetwork.org, armedcitizensnetwork.org, and get signed up. please use the tracking code Paul. Just use the tracking code Paul or 15625. And if you can't remember the tracking code when you want to sign up, go to handgunworld.com. Check out the show notes. I always put the tracking code in the show notes for every episode now. That benefits the network. We get a little money back because we're an affiliate of the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network, and you'll be supporting us. You don't have to spend any extra money when you do that. So here we go. Paul's going to talk about part two of his story. A lot of people have been emailing me and asking me, why doesn't Paul sue the guy that falsely accused him? So if you've been wondering the answer to that question, here comes your answer. My interview with Paul Lathrop. Well, joining me is Paul Lathrop from the Polite Society podcast. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thanks, Bob. Good to be back, man.
Yeah, I should say welcome back to the show. It's been several times, and, you know, the last interview we did, episode 381, where you told your story for the first time, man, that episode has set an all-time download record for the Handgun World podcast.
I'm glad to hear that because I want as many people as possible to hear my story and to learn from my story and to learn from my mistakes.
Well, we appreciate you sharing it. And again, thanks for coming back. So the primary reason that I wanted to have you come back is since that episode, and again, folks, that's episode 381, if you haven't listened to it yet on the Handgun World podcast. Since then, I have received a ton of feedback by email, by Facebook, and even voicemails. And 90% of the feedback has been one question. And that one question is, why doesn't Paul file a civil lawsuit against that guy who accused him? Do you want to talk about that?
Sure, I can talk about that. As of this point, I haven't. There is a possibility. I have 2 years. I could do it. And we are, 8 months now since the incident, almost exactly, a little more than 8 months away from the incident. So I still have 1 year and 4 months I could do it. However, there's several reasons I haven't. First and most importantly is good things are starting to happen to me. Very good things are starting to happen to me. And every day has been a blessing.
Amen.
And to file a lawsuit would introduce a lot of negativity. And would, I very much believe you get out of life what you put into it. And
absolutely.
And so that would be putting a whole lot of negativity and dwelling on a very negative point in my life. For could I get some money out of it? Yeah, I could maybe get some money out of it. But the second reason I haven't is, and the practical reason is, the state of Nebraska, this guy has a last name that I cannot pronounce. It sounds Middle Eastern to me. It starts with an O, and nobody in court could pronounce it either.
Okay.
including the district attorney, the sheriff, and the judge all took a look at it and just decided to say Mr. O.
Mr. O, okay.
Yeah. The state of Nebraska could not find him to get him to come back to testify. What are the chances I'm going to hire an attorney? By the way, my attorney is a civil defense attorney. He's a criminal defense attorney, not a civil litigation attorney. He doesn't take civil cases. So I would have had to have found another attorney, one that would agree to sue and would agree to take it on contingency, because I don't have cash to hire an attorney right now.
Mm-hmm.
And would be able to find this guy and would be able to get him to come to testify.
Sounds like those chances would be pretty slim.
Yeah. Very, very slim. So, you know, between the main reason, honestly, is so many good things have been happening and such great stuff has been going on that I don't want to tie up my attention into something negative. I'd rather continue pursuing things that are positive, continue working on things that are helping, and put this in a chapter of my life I don't have to think about a lot anymore.
You know, that's the answer that I figured that you would give. And I've, you know, I've tried not to comment because I'm not you. I'm not in your situation. So I've tried not to speculate. But I have said things like, you know, maybe Paul just doesn't want to deal with it anymore. Maybe he just wants to move on. Maybe he wants to stick with the positives and put this behind him and move on with his life. Because and I know good things are happening. You know, we've got the network started. You've gotten a tremendous amount of interviews and out of it. And you've had a chance to really turn this into something positive. And that's kind of the answer I thought that you would give.
Yeah, very much so. And things even outside of my public life have been going positive. Things like, and I hate to brag, but when we went to the Gun Rights Policy Conference last month, I was awarded Blogger of the Year. Just blew me away.
Congratulations.
And it wasn't because of the incident in Nebraska. They awarded it to me because of the work I do with the podcast.
Right.
And I've had incredibly great things been happening. I really don't want to risk my personal, I'm on a roll, so to speak. Let's put it that way. And I want to ride this roll as far as it can possibly go. And if let's just be real honest. I could theoretically sue the trucking company that the insurance company of the trucking company, because my understanding is it was a single truck operation owned by this person who they can't find, who probably has went back to wherever he came from because he wasn't from here. I could theoretically sue the insurance company that covered that person. Might get a little bit of cash out of it. By little, I mean it would probably be less than $100,000, which is still a ton of money, but I'm going to have to give most of that up to the attorney. It's going to have to be filed in Massachusetts where he was registered to do business, which means I have to go to Massachusetts.
Yeah, and then you got to
repeatedly.
Yeah, and you got to go by Massachusetts law.
Yeah, and even thinking about it has got my hair on the back of my neck going, oh God. So there's just so many reasons. Could it happen? Yes, it could happen. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I don't think people really understand the amount of added stress that it would add to you. And I'm not trying to give you advice. I'm not trying to say go after him or not. It's entirely your decision. But hearing you talk, I don't think people really understand what the whole situation and what you would have to go through. And the people who make comments, like I'm going to share with you a comment that I got pretty soon. People who make comments like the one I'm about to share, I don't think they're thinking with their entire brain, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of comments asking why I don't sue, and it's common. I mean, I could see why they're saying that. It's if somebody hurts me, hits me with their fist, I'm going to hit back with a baseball bat. If they hit me with a baseball bat, I'm going to take a crowbar after them. They come after me with a crowbar. You want to hurt them worse than they hurt you. It's a human response. It's understandable. It's just not where I want to go.
No, it's not. And even though it's a human response, it doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do. Doesn't mean that it's always the correct action to take. You know, our human responses, they're fallible. You know, we're not perfect people. And even though it's something we want to do, it doesn't mean that it's always the right thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. You know, we are as gun owners and as, concealed carry permit holders, we are among the most law abiding people. We are also human and But Bob, you've been in arguments with people while you're carrying, correct?
Yes.
And the I'm going to say the alpha male in us always wants, you know, there is at least a little bit of a, boy, I'd like to pound this guy. I'd like to, you know, but you're, because of that we're armed and because of the class of people we decided to join in, we take the higher road.
Exactly, exactly. And I'm not trying to play class warfare here. I'm just saying gun owners and gun carriers seem to be in a different group where we like to take the high road. People misunderstand us. A lot of people think that we're a bunch of crazy lunatics that take the low road, and we all know that's the opposite, don't we?
Absolutely.
We take the high road. And going after this guy might be kind of getting down to his level, if you think about it.
Well, it would. It would. And it's you know, you hurt me, boy, look out. I'm going to hurt you. Well, again, it's is it worth it?
Yeah, you have to answer that question.
And to me, it's just at this point, it's just not.
It's just not. Well, and let me share something with you. Let me share a comment here, because I've been called a pacifist because of something I say. Can you believe that? I've been called a pacifist. Yeah, it's like, it doesn't
hopefully
mean
that's the worst thing you're ever called, but
well, it's not the worst thing I've ever been called, but in this case, I'm being called a pacifist. A listener of mine named Dave, I'll read you the email. It's not very long, and you can comment on it. He's responding to a comment I made a couple of weeks after I interviewed you. I said something like, you know what? God says vengeance is mine and not to take revenge on people. And this is the way this listener, Dave, took this. He said, dear Bob, please excuse my rant. I don't want to do this, but please hear me out. He says, I'm real pissed right now after listening to your interview with Paul Lathrop. He said, you said that he should or that you would turn the other cheek regarding the false accusation against him. Well, that's BS. And of course, he actually spelled out what BS means. He said, this is a problem with the whole Second Amendment issue. Everyone wants to be passive and turn the other cheek on the gun issue. If you think that God's going to come down and exact revenge on this miscreant that falsely accused Paul, I think you're a bit feeble. And he says to me, you know, he said, Bob, you practice to take a life if needed. And I stress if needed, but you will not sue someone preserving a life that falsely accuses you and costs you tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees. What are you thinking? This is exactly the way to defeat the Second Amendment. Falsely accuse everyone that's a gun owner and have them sit down and take it because they get tired of fighting the system. Bob, just give up now. You do not have it in you to fight for what is right. And he says, again, I apologize because I've listened to you for a long time. Dave.
Wow.
Yeah. So before you comment, Paul, I just want to say, I want to announce to everybody, this is my last podcast. I'm closing this down because Dave says I need to quit. I don't have it in me. I don't have it in me what it takes. You know, 390 something episodes and 7 years of doing this and donations to the Second Amendment Foundation and donations to the NRA and teaching people in training classes to defend themselves. I don't have it in me. I guess I just don't. So goodbye, everybody.
Well, boy, that makes my download numbers look a lot better now that I'm not competing with you.
Anyway, what do you think of this email, Paul?
You know what? I would first say to this guy, and being the person that has the opportunity, you need to weigh cost benefit. The cost would be amazing. And there's two ways that cost can be paid for. It can be done through contingency, or it can be done through straight cash payment. And the cash payment I can't afford, and even contingency, which theoretically wouldn't charge me anything unless the attorney actually won something, I still would have to, as a cost, take time off of work and go to Massachusetts to file. I would have to go to Massachusetts to testify. And that's a whole lot farther for me than Nebraska. But I want to go more to the you have to fight, or the Second Amendment goes away. I disagree with that wholeheartedly, because the way we fight for the Second Amendment is coming up in a few weeks in November, when we have a general election.
Absolutely.
The most effective tool we have to fight with is our vote. We've got a real chance to, well, number one, I believe we're going to hold a very big majority in the House. We're going to retain our majority in the Senate. There aren't very many Democratic senators up for re-election, because 6 years ago we won big. And so most that are up for re-election are Republicans. But I don't think we're going to lose the majority in the Senate. I think we're going to retain that. And honestly, I think we're going to get Donald Trump in as president. At least I certainly hope so. And that's how you win. And not just on the national level, right down to your local level, by electing city and state representatives for you, and even school board representatives that are pro-gun. That's how we get our rights back.
Yeah, that's how we fight.
Yes, it's not by the – let's take the vote thing and go a little farther. Let's say we elect pro-rights district attorneys. Mm-hmm. And somebody does what happens to me, makes a false accusation, and it gets proven. And then the district attorney figures out this is wrong. What we need is to elect district attorneys that will turn around and file charges against the person that made the false accusation.
Exactly.
When they start paying through going to jail, that is where – right now, this person is gone, okay? He cannot be found. If I were to get money, it would be from the insurance company that covered that truck. How much is that going to hurt – this guy, who's probably back in Afghanistan or wherever the hell he came from.
It's not going to hurt that guy at all. It'll hurt the trucking company and their insurance company.
Well, the trucking company was this guy. It was one truck operator.
Okay, so it'll hurt the insurance company.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not by filing this suit, I would hurt the insurance company and would cause the insurance rates for my own trucking, because the more claims get paid out, the more they have to charge for insurance. So in a roundabout way, everybody that drives truck would be paying me a little bit of cash.
Yeah,
not this guy.
Everybody would be losing. It wouldn't affect that guy at all if you were – it probably wouldn't affect him much at all if you were to file a suit against him, would it?
Assuming he could be found, it may, but he probably wouldn't be able to be found. And so, no, it wouldn't affect him at all.
And see, so my listener, Dave, that sent me this email, I don't think Dave is really thinking this through, because, you know, the best way to fight is what you just said at the voting booth. How about sending some money and time to the Second Amendment Foundation, who does a lot of fighting for us? How about donating to the NRA ILA? How about donating to podcasters like you and me that are fighting every day for our rights and getting the word out? How about your local state rifle organizations and your mm-hmm. local state gun rights? You know, Dave, that's probably a better use of time than going after some foreigner driving a truck that made a false accusation against somebody.
Yeah. Now, would this have been Steve Jones from Kansas City? And he could be found. There may be a different story.
Maybe a different story, right.
But with Mr. O, that was from somewhere in the Middle East and cannot be found now, you just got to balance out cost versus reward. And I don't think it's there for me.
Yeah, and Dave misread what I meant when I said turning the other cheek. You know, I mean, he references things in his email like, well, if you think the almighty God's going to come down and exact revenge on this guy, you know, you're wrong. That's not what I was referring to. You know, God does things
not to get religious here, but God does things in the afterlife. Not he, well, he does things while we're here too. But what I was referring to is what happens to us when we're no longer here on earth. That's what I was talking about, you know. And the thing is, what Dave is I think missing the point on here is that it's not that I don't have it in me to fight for what it's right. Is that I like to pick my battles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you're doing, Paul, isn't it? You're picking your battle.
Oh, yeah. I'm putting my energy where it's most effective right now.
And what you're doing is you and I put together the Self-Defense Radio Network, and that's growing. It's profitable right away. It's growing. We're bringing new podcasts into the network. That's going to, I think, advance rights quite a bit, don't you?
I agree. I agree. And we're working with places like Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. We're working with of course, with Beyond Concealed Carry, and we've got other people coming on board to work with. But we're working to make things better for the gun-owning public. And I think that is going to be so much better long-term than me getting revenge on one person.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And for example, in the month of September, the Self-Defense Radio Network, we sold a pretty good amount of memberships. I don't want to give out the number, but we sold a pretty good amount of memberships to the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. That alone right there, to my listener Dave, that alone right there is playing a big role in advancing the rights, because these carriers, these concealed carriers who now signed up, they're protected in case something happens to them that happened to you, Paul. They now have a means of defense.
Right.
And so that's helping the Second Amendment, and it's helping the whole cause.
You know, I believe, honestly, by defeating bogus charges, I made a very small, tiny, little, itty-bitty contribution to advancing gun rights, because there was one case that came about that came down on the correct side.
Yeah.
I think I made a better contribution by telling my story, by saying out everywhere that they would put me out there, saying this can happen to you. You'd better be ready. You'd better be thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we've done a pretty good, you've led it, and the rest of us have joined in. We've done a pretty good job of getting that word out.
Well, and thank you for helping me with it, and thanks to everybody that's had me on their show and had me talk about it. And I think that is, and that's a positive thing for me too, because I don't know, I've been on so many shows. It would be hard for me to estimate. I would say I've been able to reach probably upward of 1 million people if you combine all the shows I've been on.
Mm-hmm.
With my story and telling people that even if you don't draw your gun, you can get into a pretty big bind. And I don't know. I'm not going to say it was worth going through what I went through, because honestly, if I could go back, I still would change things. I wouldn't go through what I did. But then again, if I went back and changed things, I couldn't have helped people by telling them that this is real and you need to be prepared for it.
You know, sometimes God takes these things and he turns them into positives to help millions of people instead of just one or two.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this has been a way that he's used you to help a whole lot of people. And, you know, it's just too bad that this is my last podcast, because I got to give up. Dave says I have to give up. And I've been enjoying the fight. I've been enjoying the fight, but I got to give up now, don't I, Paul?
No, I'm going to probably say you might not want to give up just yet, because we've got some really cool things happening.
I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Dave had me.
Yeah.
You know, Dave had me in his email until he got to the last part where he says, Bob, just give up now because you don't seem to have it in you to fight for what's right. You know, and that's where he lost me. It was a great email, really. It was. I mean, it was an email that had some had some merit to it, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on. But when he got to the part that I should just give up, I thought, eh, well. But I sat on this. The date I got this email was September 24th, and today is October 18th. So I've been sitting on this for a while, for a few weeks, thinking about what to do, and I wanted to pose this to you because it goes real well with you answering the question, you know, why haven't you sued him?
It does. And the can we go back to the vengeance is mine for a minute?
Sure, yeah.
I purposefully avoid any religious connotation on my show, and I have for the most part in the interviews. But that really is a big principle that I don't think enough of us follow. In that, you know, yes, you should de-escalate when possible. When bad things happen, you should try to bring the situation under control, bring the situation down. Obviously, take care of yourself if you have to. But we don't carry for vengeance. We carry for self-protection.
Ooh, good point.
And I'm not going to use the legal system for vengeance either.
Good point.
I'm not going to call it a justice system because I still don't believe there's much justice.
That's true too. That's true.
But I going back to that, yeah, that would seem like something. That would be a misuse of the court system, I think, especially with me not being able to get in to be able to sue him directly. It would have to go to an insurance company. That would seem to me just to be a misuse of the justice system, just as if I were to go take down a convenience store, it would be a misuse of my gun.
Yeah, and by the way, I want you to repeat something because I don't know if people caught it in the first interview when you told your story. The guy never showed up for court to defend himself, did he?
No. No. He has never been able to be found. Since that night, they have not been able to get in touch with him.
Since the night that he accused you?
Right.
Yeah. So, see, that's a big deal. That's a big deal, you know. Okay. Well, Paul, you know, you talked about it, and I'm glad you did, and I'm glad you came back. You know, now that you've had, it was about a month and a half ago we originally did the original interview, and you've had a chance now to kind of think things through, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, time has kind of clarified things for me. And again, it's just, I feel so blessed because ever since that Monday when I got this phone call saying the charges had been totally dropped, that everything was done, one thing after another positive has been happening in my life.
Isn't that awesome?
And I just, the blessings keep coming each and every day.
Yeah, they do. And that's, you know, that's what people need to see here, is that these negatives can become positives, and sometimes it's how you deal with it. You know, I've always clung on to a saying, and I have to live this every day in my life. You know, life is not, let me start off again. Life is only 10% what happens to you, but it's 90% how you handle it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I am a big believer in, and I said it earlier, you get out of life what you put into life. And if you dwell on negatives, if you let those things affect you, that you are going to get back more of the negative. If you work on the positives, you're going to get back more positive.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I went far afield, and I'm sorry, but yeah, that's kind of a roundabout way to answer your question, I think.
Good. No, that you did a good job, Paul. I had a certain amount of time allotted for this interview, and we're pretty close to the end. So let's shift gears for a minute. What do you want to say about the Self Defense Radio Network going right now?
Well, boy, things are really coming about. We had a very successful September, and new podcasts are coming about. We just had Passionate About Prepping, a brand new show on the podcast, released their first episode. We've got another podcast that is going to be coming live in a couple weeks. I don't want to talk about it too much before it actually happens. But things are really happening. The network is coalescing, and we're doing great things, and more great things are coming. Can I don't know when this is going to be released, but can I make a little bit of an announcement that you and I have been working on? But
yeah, go ahead. It's going to release on this Sunday, the 22nd of October. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, it won't be the first one then, but it'll be among the first of the podcast. We're going to be having a giveaway that we are giving to the listeners. There has been so much positive feedback from the listeners, and we're so happy about that. We want to give a little bit back. And so anybody who buys a Armed Citizen Legal Defense Network package membership from now, well, actually from last month till the end of the year, is automatically entered into a drawing. Anybody that buys, you have to go to the network website, that which is excuse me, my brain just went on vacation. You have to go to the network website, which is selfdefenseradio.net. You click on the training tab, and Beyond Concealed Carry has classes in there that not only do you get for a discount, but if you buy one of those training classes, or if you buy a Shooters Club membership at a discount through the website, you're also entered. At the end of the year, we're going to be giving away one training class to any Beyond Concealed Carry training anywhere in the country next year. We're going to be giving away one Shooters Club video membership, and we're going to be giving away two concealment solution, any concealment solution holster you like. We're going to be giving away to two people, one concealment solution holster, anything in their, any holster in their store they want, you can have. And I just think that's really cool.
It is really cool. Let me clarify a couple things. Selfdefenseradio.net, it's the listener discounts page. It's the listener discounts page. It's going to ask you for a password, and that password is all lowercase SDRN. Pretty easy to remember, all lowercase SDRN. There you'll find the discounts for Beyond Concealed Carry training, for the Shooters Club video membership. And again, everybody since September 1 through the end of the year who purchased an ACLDN membership is also going to be entered, because you're getting the last names of everybody, aren't you, Paul?
We are. And I would say, again, you got to purchase it through the network. You have to use the network tracking code.
Give that out.
And it's one, I don't even remember the numbers. If you just put in there Paul Lathrop,
yeah,
when you get your membership, as to where you got referred from, it will get credit.
Or if you just use the word Paul, I believe we'll get credit for it, right?
Yes, and my wife is miming over my shoulder here. 15625 is the numeric tracking code.
And if you forget all this, you can go to the show notes for the Handgun World podcast, for the Polite Society podcast, for selfdefenseradio.net. We post all of our shows on there too. All of us are in the show notes, are putting in the tracking code if you forget what it is. But anyway, send us an email if you forget what the tracking code and the discount code is.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, anybody who might want to, Bob is, he does an awesome job, but if you've got issues with me, you might want to email Paul at politicsandguns.com. Exactly. I'd be happy to answer you.
Paul, thanks again. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate your time.
You bet. Thank you, Bob.
All right, many thanks to Paul. And there's not a lot more that needs to be said about that. I think Paul and I pretty much covered it pretty well, and I think you may now, if you've been wondering why he hasn't done that, maybe now you got your answer. And if you still have more comments or questions, you can email me, Bob, at handgunworld.com. You can always leave a voicemail, 210-646-1727. I'd love to have you on the show, 210-646-1727. Give me a 3-minute voicemail if you want.
and I'll respond, and you'll be able to be on the Handgun World podcast with your comments and your questions. If you like what I do for you on this podcast, if it helps you, can you do me a favor? I'm trying to raise some money because I've got some big medical bills to pay for my wife, who is struggling for her life right now in a hospital and may end up having to go to a skilled nursing facility for quite some time. And insurance is not going to cover it all. So I'm going to be out of pocket for a lot of it. So, hey, if you don't mind, if you're going to make your Amazon purchase, why don't you do it through my Amazon store? Those of you that buy things on Amazon, even if you're starting your holiday shopping right now, go to handgunworld.com, click the Amazon store, and follow that link. And by the way, if you've if you haven't done it in a while, refresh that link in your browser when you go to Amazon, because that link does expire and then I don't get any credit for your purchases. So every once in a while you need to go to handgunworld.com, go to the Amazon store, and then click that link. Just three clicks before you do your Amazon shopping will help me out greatly and raise some money for the medical expenses. Or you can join the Shooters Club. Ben Branham and I have some real good videos that we've made, instructional concealed carry videos that many people are saying they really like. You can watch over 60 of them for only $8 a month or $75 a year. You can also get discounts on a Shooters Club membership or any of the training classes Ben Branham and I are teaching by going to selfdefenseradio.net and go into the listener discount page. Listener discount page at selfdefenseradio.net. The password is SDRN, all lowercase. SDRN. Get you discounts on Beyond Concealed Carry training and the Shooters Club membership. So I'd appreciate that if you don't mind. Again, trying to raise as much money. Probably two-thirds of all of the income that I'm making is going to be now spent on her medical expenses. And, you know, we put together an emergency fund over the years, and this is an emergency, but the emergency fund's going to get depleted, and it won't take very long because healthcare is quite expensive. She's on a tracheotomy and a ventilator right now, so you can probably understand the costs that are that I'm going to be incurring. I'm going to be doing the podcast still. Hey, this is one of my ways to escape. Doing this and going and shooting, it's kind of my mental escape for a few hours each week. Doing the podcast, which doesn't take too long, but then also going shooting, which is always a great time for 2 or 3 hours every week, just to do something for myself and get my mind off of stuff. All right, folks, thanks a lot. I appreciate you listening to another episode. I have another real good interview for you next week that I think you're going to enjoy. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And remember, evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. Shoot straight, shoot safe. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.